a little bush
only.
Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet. I climbed down up inside. I pulled the choke and I turned the key, but the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful it nearly broke my heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and I'm here to help you with your car question or your car problem. And all you have to do is give us a call at 602-508-0960. 508-0960. And this portion on the hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. They have years of experience working on both domestic and import cars and both gas and diesel. Kurtz Auto is I-17 and Bell Road, North Central Phoenix area. And they've been open since 1992, and they've been a member in good standing with the Better Business Bureau. So if you're looking for a good car repair shop, one with my personal guarantee that you'll see on MarkSalem.com, give Kurtz a try and tell them Mark sent you. And we also have Craig Bell here from Bell Automotive in Scottsdale. Craig, welcome. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
You know, we talk about car repair with the folks on the radio, and a lot of the questions have to do with how do I know? How do I know? How do I know they're telling us the truth? Or how do I know I really need this? Tell me one of the things, if you can remember, I'll start it out for you. Okay. One of the things that drives me crazy from my technicians is when they use words like seeping. Okay? That just drives me crazy. It's either leaking or it ain't.
It's not leaking, right.
Yeah,
right.
It's one or the other. And so you're saying seeping because you want to go ahead and replace the rack. But in reality, when I ask the customer, have you noticed anything on the ground? And they go, no, how are we going to do that?
Right.
So that's one of the things that bugs me. Think back to some old technicians you had and some of the things that they did that just really wadded your panties up.
Most of my guys have been with me quite a few years. So they know how I want to view it and how we want to look at the car and how we want to approach the customer with what problem they have. Every so often I'll get a guy, you know, have a new technician, and he'll want to – probably the one that bothers me the most is when we know what it's going to take to fix it, and he comes up to me with something – a lot more than I know it should cost, or what kind of hours we should be putting into it. You know, if it's a 2-hour job and he comes in and says, well, we need 4 to do that. We kind of say, are you sure we need 4 to do that? You know, and sometimes it might be, we know that there's a bolt that we usually have problems with on a certain, let's say, water pump.
Yeah.
And he's thinking ahead that way that that bolt might break. So it's going to take some more time with that one. So I think that's where my guys are good about. They've been in the business long enough. They know what's going on. They know that the little nuances of certain cars, what that's going to take to get that certain bolt or pulley off that doesn't show in the book, and it doesn't show, you know,
anywhere
else. It's from experience.
Yep.
But I've had a few over the years, you know, where somebody will come in and say, you know, And sometimes it's just an honest mistake. They'll just look up there and say, this is leaking.
Yeah.
And he says, you wash it off and you look close and say, oh, no, that's valve cover's leaking.
Yeah.
So you pull it off and get a valve cover on and give it back to the customer. Customer comes back a couple days later, still got a leak. Mm-hmm. You know, well, it might have been that cam plug on the back side of that.
Or the back of the intake.
Back of the intake, yeah. So they just might not have looked close enough, but they might have been too busy, or they might have just felt real confident. So you get a lot of that.
And likewise with me, we let the technicians look up their own labor, but we give them only one strike.
Okay.
So you can try to fudge it as much, but you better use it for something big.
Right.
Because you only get one, and after one, then we roll your toolbox outside, and you're on your way somewhere else. That's a lot of pressure for them. And I copied that from actually a couple of older guys, like your dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, just it's too much. Now, let's talk about Vicky, your wife.
Right.
Vicky, I'm going to ask you, does she answer the phones?
When she, yes.
Okay. You got to be careful here.
Yeah, I got to be real careful.
She does the books.
Does the books.
She makes appointments.
Sometime.
Does she look up parts?
No.
Does she do any estimates?
No.
Does she look up labor?
No.
Does she control the front office?
No. My service writer, Tracy, does that. Okay. So my wife is more almost exclusively bookkeeping.
Okay. Administration.
Yeah. And she's up to the shop. She'll do phone calls. She'll do some appointments when Tracy's too busy. But mostly her job is bookkeeping. So, okay. And that's good for flexibility because I've had a handicapped son. Mm-hmm. So when she needs to be home with him or when he has special needs at a certain time in the week, we're real flexible about her taking that time off.
Sure. So do you, does she get to voice an opinion when there's a problem?
Oh, yeah, that's usually home. That's usually at night, you know.
So does my wife.
Yeah,
so does my wife. Sometimes you ask them for their opinion, and sometimes you don't, but you're going to get it whether you ask it or not.
See, I have a unique situation because my parents started the business. I started right from the get-go, first day we started the business with them.
And what year was that?
75.
Okay.
We had a full-service gas Shell station. I was a pump jockey, I guess you call it that. Yeah. That's how I started out. And actually, that's where I met my wife. My dad hired my wife as a pump jockey. And through circumstances, we ended up together and been together since.
Were you prodding your dad to hire this female?
No. He'd brought her in before I had said anything. But, you know, we had all young guys working for us at the time.
Yeah.
And everybody's eyes lit up when they saw Vicky coming in. So there was a scramble on who was going to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who was going to. That's the new girl, you know. And it's like, will she go out with me, you know. Yeah. So there was all that kind of scrambling going on.
All right. So in 1975, you learned how to use a broom.
You picked
up the parking lot.
Actually, the broom was punishment for bad grades at school.
Okay. All right. But
I was
working
on cars already then. So.
All right. But the process that we're missing today.
Right.
You started with patching tires.
Right.
Tires. Then you went into tire rotations.
Right.
Then maybe they let you do an oil change. And then you ended up doing maybe screwing in some spark plugs. Right. Then you learn how to set dwell and timing.
Okay.
And those are the steps you took. Right?
Right.
And you just gained confidence as you went along. But they let you do things as you went along.
Right. Right.
Today we have nothing like that at all. There's no place for kids to come through that kind of trust period.
Yeah, because I've tried to hire a couple younger guys out of high school or in high school for cleanup, you know, and they just look at me like, well, what can I do? I need to work on a car. I need to do this. It's like, no, I'm hiring you for cleanup.
And if you have initiative and if you do your job well and if you find things to do, then I will start giving you some of those easy things to do.
Correct.
And I will break you into a general service, GS we call them, general service technician. And then if you're really good, then I'll replace you with the next young man I get at high school for the cleanup.
Right.
So is Vicky part of the hiring process?
Somewhat. She was real excited. Like I said, one of my old technicians, he'd been with me over 10 years, moved to New Mexico for reasons of his own, and he came back to me, called me up and said, hey, if I come back, would you give me a job? And I said, sure, that's a no-brainer. And so he's came back, and she was part of that one.
Okay.
But we have real low turnover. I've Jose's been with me 16 years now.
Good.
So, and then Roger before that, and then I think most of my technicians average at least 5 years with me. So,
And you're on just west of Pima on McDowell in Scottsdale.
Correct.
Pima and McDowell just west on the north side of the street.
Right.
And you've been there since 1975.
Been at that location since 81. We were one block up since 75.
And that was on Granite Reef.
That was on Granite Reef.
Yeah. So that's where the Shell station started.
And then Shell pulled out of the state.
Okay.
Everybody had to scramble to get what they... You know, so we came up and bought that shop in 81.
Okay.
And I was actually in Minneapolis in school at the time. So finished up school there, moved back to Scottsdale, and been working at that shop ever since.
Minneapolis is in what state?
Minnesota.
Minnesota. You got to say it right. You got to say Minnesota. Is that where you're born and raised?
No. I was born in Kansas City, but we moved here when I was four to Scottsdale. So I've been almost native.
Yeah. Oh, that's close
and,
enough.
But my parents were all from Minneapolis, Iowa, so.
Okay. 602-508-0960. 508-0960 if you have a car question or car problem. Craig is a descendant of Carol Bell, correct, your dad.
Right.
And how does he spell his name?
C-A-R-O-L.
Okay.
We get a lot of, that's how you can differentiate salesman calling.
Uh-huh.
Can we speak to Mrs. Carol Bell?
Okay.
And if you know they say Mrs. Carol Bell, you know that they don't know Carol Bell, so you know.
Oh, you know, I'd have fun with that. I'd say, you know, Mrs. Carol Bell's in jail. You want me to give her your inmate number? And then they'll just hang up on you. They'll never call back again. Something else I do is they'll call, and if I don't recognize the name or the phone number, I answer the phone. Sheriff's office. And they go, what? And I go, sheriff's office. And they say, oh, excuse me, thank you, bye. And then they hang up. And they rarely call back because they say, okay, I got the wrong number. Right. So I've been doing that for years. And if it's a friend of mine, they'll always say, right, you know, can I speak with inmate Salem?
2 minutes.
And we'll go on from there. Car repair is not easy. It's not easy for us to but I think you'll agree with me that the most important thing with car repair is that communication between you and the customer, so you're working on the right thing.
Definitely.
So you guys doing lots of test drives, I suspect.
Yes, definitely noises or well, I say mostly noises or drivability. Something, you know, you get a little, you're getting a little surge or something at a certain time.
A hitch in your giddy.
Yeah, and you better take it out with that customer. And a lot of times they can't because they drop it off, and then you've got to call them 3 or 4 times to go, hey, is this what we're dealing with? But yeah, definitely a good test drive will bring out a lot.
Especially noises.
Noises. Right now, noises have been tough because it's been wet.
Yeah.
And then you only get a noise at a certain, let's say, humidity level. Yeah. They bring it in after the rain stopped, a week later after everything's dried out, and all of a sudden we don't have a noise anymore.
Yeah.
Because
I want you to fix the noise that happened a week
ago.
Yeah. and again, it's like the steering columns on a lot of these cars. The steering column in the winter months, the grease kind of solidifies, or doesn't solidify, but liquefies, and we have no problems. Well, as soon as we get into the cold weather, then that grease turns to wax, and then the plastic starts swelling, so now we've got this noise in the steering column. I tell them, I'm not going to fix that.
Right.
If you just wait until April or May, it'll go away. And it's going to cost you a lot more money to fix it than you can imagine. Yeah. So taking the steering wheel apart, steering column apart to fix something is just not a real great idea. 602-508-0960. I've been told that I need this, this, or this, or what do you think about synthetic oil, or how much air pressure should I carry in my tires? Those are, and what kind of engine overhaul prices can you give me? Those are all things that we can handle right here on AM 960 KKNT. My name is Mark Salem. Again, the number is 602-508-0960. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Salem.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, this ain't good. Timing belts done shrunk one size too small.
Done shrunk one size too small. Have you ever said that to a customer, Craig? All right, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission in the East Valley. If you have an issue with a transmission, Bob or Greg at Quality is who you need to call and talk to. They have many years of experience, and they don't guess with your money, and they know how to repair transmissions. They're located in Tempe on McClintock, north of University. No matter where you live, they're worth the drive, and I'm really proud to recommend Quality Transmission. So you've never said time and belts stretched too far?
All right. Stretched. That's wrong.
That's right. That's exactly right. Let me finish something I didn't tell you. When I was talking to you about what do they call them? Those people that call you on the phone. What's the word?
Telemarketers.
Telemarketers. Thank you. Telemarketers. I answer the phone. Sheriff's office. And sometimes they'll just hang up. But sometimes they'll say, may I speak with Mark Salem? Now, you have to be ready for that question. And then I go, have you got his inmate number? And then they go, what? And I go, have you got his inmate number? Well, they don't. Mm-hmm. So they go, never mind. And they hang up. So you try that, all right? You can use anything you want because you're not representing yourself as a policeman. It's just a way to get rid of the telemarketers. All righty, Craig, let's go to the phones. Bob, thank you for holding. How can we help you today?
Morning, guys. How often do you think a fuel filter should be replaced, and cannot replacing your fuel filter on a regular basis shorten the life of a fuel pump?
Two questions, Craig. Now let me ask you this. We're talking about fuel-injected cars, okay? We're not going to talk about gas cars. Fuel-injected cars, tell me what you tell your mom, your customers, everybody?
Well, newer cars into the late 2000s up to what we're doing now, 2011, fuel filters are part of the fuel pump module in the tank.
Yep.
So you actually have to drop the tank to change a fuel filter. It's a pretty big deal. The manufacturer recommends 100,000. So
it'll fail before
that. Yeah, the fuel pump will fail before that. So, but the older style fuel injection, I try to go 20,000.
And I agree with you. I think the answer to your question, Bob, is that you're going to get 100 different answers from 100 different guys, mm-hmm. but everyone is going to be between 20 and 40,000 miles.
Right.
Everybody's going to be. The problem is you can look in 10 owner's manual and they're all going to be different.
Right.
And it has to do with the size of the filter, how much trash it can go, if it has a bypass in it, and on and on and on. But the answer is 20 to 40. Now, second question is it shorten? If you don't change it, does it shorten the life of your pump?
Definitely. Definitely.
Without question.
Yeah, without question. I try to tell my people, my customers, that, you know, definitely try to stay above a quarter tank on your gas, because
that's even more important.
Right, because that's cooling the fuel pump all the time, you know. Yeah. And I always get those ones that are running on between a quarter and empty all the time.
You mean like your daughter and my kids?
Or that pump's failing a lot sooner. Yeah. And yeah, the fuel filter is cheap insurance for that fuel pump, because those modules, sometimes $7,000-$8,000 for a module, for a fuel pump module, and for a $30 fuel filter,
it makes a big difference.
It makes a big difference.
The idea behind the fuel, Bob, is that the fuel pump is suspended towards the lowest portion of the tank, and it's supposed to be cooled and lubricated by the gas. The kids at ASU drive $1 and $2 and $3 at a time. And so their fuel pump is exposed to the elements, and it's not being cooled or lubricated. That's why we want you to stay above. It's more important to stay above a quarter tank,
right,
or at a quarter tank or higher than it is a fuel filter. But the pumps is going to push gas forward. The fuel pressure regulator is the return gate. So it'll open when the pressure's too high, and it'll close when the pressure's too low. So the fuel pump wants to see a regular pressure. Some say that the fuel pump runs the same with a plugged fuel filter because it acts like a fuel pressure regulator. I can tell you this much, and I think Craig, you'll agree. I do lots of fuel pumps because the fuel filter caused the pump to go bad.
Right.
And so you always look at that. Now, how do you check a fuel filter, Craig?
We actually physically take them off and blow through them.
And there's a lot of people that won't believe you. And I say, it's just like Louis playing the trumpet, okay?
Right.
It's like Louis Armstrong.
Right.
You put it to your lips, you wipe it off. Hopefully you're not smoking. and you blow real hard. Now, you got to take the new one and blow through it.
Right.
Now, the new one feels like you're blowing through a cardboard tube, a straw,
yeah,
right? Because the new one's clean.
Yeah, as clean as can be.
So you can quickly determine if this is 25, 50, or 100% plugged,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah.
You just got a little gas on your lips.
Or if you're when you're pouring the gas out so you don't get the gas in your mouth,
yeah,
large chunks of black stuff comes out and you don't even have to blow anymore. So.
Yeah, and you're talking about dumping it on the inlet side.
Right.
Talking about the inlet side. You shake that. Now, if there's lots of brass in there, what does that tell you?
Yeah, the pump
is coming apart.
Yep, it's on its way.
It's already coming apart. So that's the way we do. Bob, thank you for that good question. Wayne, you're up next. Wayne, how can we help you today?
A couple of questions. First of all, tell me again where your current associate there is located.
Craig, we're just west of Pima, or actually the 101 on McDowell. It's actually the corner of 87th Street and McDowell,
okay.
South Scottsdale.
And let me just tell you something, Wayne. Because Bell Auto is on our list, and our list is 25 years old, what we say is this, and they don't pay this money. I do. And they're held to the highest standards. Nobody else has standards like we do. But if you're unhappy with Bell Auto, or with my shop or anybody's shop that's on the list. And my shop is not on my own list because for obvious reasons. So if you're unhappy with one of our shops and you go to the Better Business Bureau and through the arbitration program, they tell the shop to make a refund or give you money back, and the shop refuses, I will, up to $5,000 on the money back or up to $5,000 on the repair. So
okay,
you're covered, and I'm using the Better Business Bureau to help mediate and arbitrate the complaint. And I'm proud to tell you, in 25 years, we've never been to mediation. Never.
Okay.
So, and that's good. But anyway, second question.
Oh, specifically about rack and pinion, 2002 Dodge Grand Caravan. It's at that interface between seeping and leaking. I don't see any evidence of it unless it's up on the rack and you look underneath. And I've had to add to the power steering reservoir probably about 5 or 6 ounces in the last 50,000 miles.
That's a
What would you do? That's a seep. Yeah. Now, would you change it if it was your car?
No, not an American thing.
Well, wait a minute. You wouldn't change it if it was your car. Would you change it if it was Vicky's car?
It depends if it's on my driveway.
But he said no leaks.
Yeah.
He said no leaks. And he says 5 to 6 ounces in 50,000 miles.
No, I would just clean it off and kind of watch it.
No, and I'll tell you what's going on, and Craig knows this too. One side's leaking. One side's seeping a little bit more than the other. So when you turn the steering wheel all the way to the right or all the way to the left, as the tie rod collapses. You there?
Yes, go ahead. Hello?
Hello.
You got 1 minute, you're back.
Hello.
Can you hear me? We can hear you.
I got you. I'm here.
You're live 30 seconds.
Okay. Those spark plug wires are a little too long. And welcome back here. I'm sorry. Something happened where someone turned off our amplifier in here, and it must have been me leaning up against it, so I apologize. That technical glitch was my own. When we come back, Wayne, we're going to continue to talk about your particular question. Anybody else? 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. We've got open lines available. All we need you to do is call, and we will help you. Craig from Bell Auto in Scottsdale, 101 in Pima. My name's Mark Salem, and we're here to help you with your car questions. But we want to talk about that rack a little bit more, Wayne. We'll be back right after this.
If you're from one of
the... raised up from under my hood and he shook his
head. Well, welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and I want you to know about a great body shop. Phoenix Body Works was voted one of the best body shops in Phoenix, and they've been on my best car repair shops list for years and years and years. Greg May, the owner, and his staff have been servicing the Phoenix area since 1982. They've been around a while. Phoenix Body Works offers free computerized estimates, a written lifetime warranty, and as the insurance claim professionals, they take the hassle out of dealing with your insurance company because they step in front of you, and they make good decisions based on what's in your best interest. Their employees are ASE certified, ICAR certified, and they belong to the Better Business Bureau. You can't get better than that. Remember, Arizona law says it's your vehicle and you can choose the body shop you want to use. You do not have to let the insurance company do that. That's why Phoenix Body Works holds down that north area really good for me. So they're at 19th Avenue, a half block north of Deer Valley Road. So call them at 623-582-1434, Phoenix Body Works. Okay, Craig, we've got Wayne still on the line, and we talked about his seeping rack, and he said something to us that I thought was really important, and that was 5 or 6 ounces in 50,000 miles. One side or the other is leaking on the rack, and it's not leaking, it's seeping. Let's call it what it is. Mm-hmm. And the reason why you're not seeing anything on the ground is because you don't turn your steering wheel all the way to the right, what we call lock position, all the way to the left. And when that bellows, when that dust boot collapses, there's a little weep hole on the bottom of it, and that all of a sudden pushes your fluid onto the ground. But it happens in the McDonald's parking lot or in the Starbucks drive-thru.
Right. When you're out driving.
So the answer is no. You don't do anything with that. You're spending money for nothing, and there are no symptoms. And so what if you're putting 5, 6 ounces in 50,000 miles?
Right.
That go okay for you, Wayne?
It sure does. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. One other thing you might do, Wayne, hopefully you're still listening, is you might put a tablespoon or two of brake fluid in the power steering reservoir. Brake fluid will rejuvenate seals that have become hard. Not all of them, but some of them. It is a hydraulic fluid, so it's not going to hurt anything. And it will rejuvenate the seals sometimes, soften them, bring some pliability back to them. And in about 50% of the cases, that will cure a leak from a seal that just got hard. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for calling. The phone number 602-508-0960. 508-0960. Dick, you're up next. Dick, how can we help you today?
Hi, good morning, Mark. Good to have you back on the air again.
Thank you.
I have got a 2002 Chevy Dually crew cab Dually with about 33,000 miles on it, but something strange began to happen at about 15,000 miles. The brake pedal began to go down to the floor a lot more than any past experience with all vehicles over 40 or 50 years would suggest is normal. I brought it to a local mechanic. I come from the east and snowbird here in Tucson during the winter. I brought it to a good local mechanic in the east that I've trusted and used for years. He said, look, he said, these drums these days get pitted. He said, they are not the quality they used to be. He said, I could sell you a brake job. He said, but he said, that's the problem. Well, I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me, but since I trusted the guy, I said, well, okay, he's not selling me anything. I knew he's had a lot of experience in the past, sometimes over difficult things have been good. So I put it to the back of my mind. But then when I came back here, I said, let me give you a call. I said, if anybody had known an answer or a better one than that, you would. So that's the question.
Okay. You want to take that one, Craig?
I'll let you have that
one,
maybe.
Okay. I'll tell you what. The bottom of the pedal, especially if you have drums,
2 minutes.
The bottom of the pedal is the rear brakes. And they and the rear brakes on a drum application, a disc drum application, they set the pedal height. If you would have come in to my shop, all we would have done is cleaned and adjusted the rear brakes.
Okay. Mark, I won't interrupt, but I misspoke. I meant it does have not drums. It has discs on all four wheels.
Okay.
I misspoke.
All right. It's still – now, here's the question you have to answer. Is that disc brake a hat, a drum, a rotor with a hat in it?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we actually have a caliper that ratchets up and ties that rear brake?
Right.
All right. This is what I'm going to tell you, Dick. I want you to go outside today, and I want you to take a cup of coffee with you. I want you just to sit inside that old thing, and I want you to put the front wheels up against a parking block or a curb. I want you to start it up and turn the radio on, and I want you to put it in drive and just let it sit there. And I want you to take that parking brake, and I want you to pedal that parking brake hard and as far as you can 100 times. Or 200 times. Or whatever you want to do.
I'm not that young.
Well, go as long as you can. Here's the question. Right after you get done, put it in reverse, drive down the street, hit the brakes, and I think instantly you will say to yourself, oh, I like that brake pedal. Now, I'm guessing that you're going to have a parking brake that's attached to the lever on the caliper because it's an older vehicle. I'm guessing that you don't ever use the parking brake, and I'm guessing your rear brakes, your rear disc brakes are out of adjustment. I'm going to have you readjust them if they're capable, and by hammering the brake pedal, that is exactly what happened. Wayne, when we come back, Dick, we'll finish talking about that. But for Craig Bell and I from Bell Auto in Scottsdale, we'll be back right after this.
Hello, I'm Bob.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood.
Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. I'm the host, and my co-pilot today is Craig Bell from Bell Auto. And that's at the 101 in Scottsdale and McDowell Road on the north side of the street, and it's west of Pima and the 101. Been around well, I think your father was a personal friend of either Adam or Eve.
Well,
you notice I didn't say that about your mother.
Well, my grandfather had a mobile station on the corner of Scottsdale Road and Camelback when I was
a little boy.
Little boy, so
no kid.
I was playing in the
canal
next door when I was a kid. So,
all righty, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto Repair. They're a full service, family owned and operated. They're located at 38th Avenue and Indian School. Larry Harker is a truly trusted name for quality and affordable automotive service and maintenance for the Phoenix area. Folks, from Indian School South and from the I-17 West, Larry Harker holds that area down for us. Now, we have S&S and Tire in that area as well. But between S&S Tire and Larry Harker's, those are your two guys, go-to guys in that particular area. Larry Harker's holds down the northeast quadrant, and S&S kind of holds down the southwest quadrant of that big area. All righty, we're going to go. Did we have anything else to tell Dick about his rear wheels? Do you have any idea?
No,
I think we covered most everything. Yeah. Okay. The idea, Dick, is if I'm right, that there's an arm on the back of your caliper And as you exercise the parking brake, it's like a ratchet. Every time it goes forward, it pushes the piston out, out, out. Now, when you're doing your regular hydraulic brake application, there's no ratcheting going on. So we're not taking up the slack that your rear shoes or your rear pads as they wear out. So if I'm right, you'd have to email me at mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com, and here's why. That means I got one right. All right, let's go to Paul. Paul, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Hi, Mark. I'm a classic car buff, kind of doing it as a hobby since I retired from the military. I'm working on a 69 Plymouth Satellite, and it's a unibody construction, and the frame rail on the left front, passenger driver's side, that's underneath where the battery was, somewhere along the line, battery acid has gotten in there from a defective battery and had eaten up the bottom of the frame rail.
Okay.
Now, they do make a replacement cap. It's out of a company in Providence, Rhode Island, Auto Rust Technicians. And basically, you have to grind out all the cancer that's in there, and the new cap just kind of slips over the old frame.
Okay.
There's really no alignment other than you need to get the K-frame bolt holes in the right spot, and you can do that just by attaching the K-frame.
Okay.
I'm looking for a shop that that not only can do it, but has probably done it before, and it's not really kind of experimenting.
Okay, okay. All right. What part of town are you in?
I'm in Glendale, but I've got to strip the engine and trans, and I've got some stilts I can put the car on, and I can take it anywhere.
Okay. Well, up in the Glendale area, with respect to bodywork people, there's Auto Dynamics, and they're at 99th Avenue and Grand in Sun City. What you're asking them to do is to box your frame rail. That's what it's called. We're going to box the frame rail. So you're going to strip it down, you're going to take it in, and you want them to box the frame rail and do nice welds and grind it out. When you get it home, if I were you, I would undercoat the front as far as you can of that frame rail. I'd get some 3M undercoating, rubberized undercoating. I would shake it until my arm hurt. But when you undercoat it and then leave it alone for 24 hours, it will dry like bed liner. And okay. It will really protect that frame rail from anything above it from your battery. So Auto Dynamics. Now, when you go east, Phoenix Body Works is up at 19th Avenue and I-17. So they're just right off the freeway. And let me see who else I've got in that particular. That's really it. I want to send you to a body shop. I want to send you to somebody who can do this because they have the very best welders. And this is what you want is someone who really can stick or wire feed that thing really good.
Okay, can I ask you one more question?
You sure can.
I've got another car. I've got a 63 Plymouth Fury, and I'm changing it over from a six-cylinder automatic push button to a big block push button. I've acquired a big block transmission, and I need to have it rebuilt back to 63 push button specs. And I need to take it to a shop that has the knowledge to order the replacement parts from the aftermarket folks that are in business. You know, I'm going to need new cables, parking cable, and shifter cable. As well as a brand new torque converter that'll fit on this old style transmission.
Okay. I have a shop that's going to be on my best list probably within the next 6 months. We had a couple of issues that we wanted him to address for us, but A&S Transmission, he's up on Rose Lane in the I-17. He's up kind of in your neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Alger Stowers. Alger Stowers. Alger worked for me in high school in 1979.
Ah.
Alger, when he was 16 years old, took his Nova and took the automatic out and put a manual in it. And he did it on one day, on a Sunday, and I have never been as impressed on a young man with his integrity and as well as his self-confidence. Now, you need to know that you're redesigning something here, so you're not going to be able to just find parts that you need. Some of those cables may have to be made. But there's speedometer shops in town that make cables. Alger will know who makes cables. But Alger's the most qualified guy I know to answer your questions. So he's at A&S Transmissions and tell him Mark Salem said to pull your pants up. Okay? It's not that he wears baggy drawers. I just tease him about that because that's what I used to get mad at him when he worked at the gas station. Pull your pants up. So I got to say that now just because it's 30 years, 40 years later.
Okay, super.
All righty. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. Thank you. All righty. Tom, you're up next. How can we help you today, Tom?
Yeah, I'm Tom from Sun City. I quit the test when you had about a leak. And the front tires, by my front tires, I leave the car for a week or two, and I see a puddle underneath my front tire. You know, it's right to the right of my right front tire.
Okay, the passenger side, right?
Yes, the passenger side.
All right, from now on, I don't ever want to hear right or left from a car. I want you to talk about the passenger side or the driver's side, because then it makes a difference whether you're facing it or you're sitting in the seat. You got that?
Definitely.
Okay, I'm just teasing. You know that. What color is the fluid?
Looks like oil.
Okay. So what you want to do is you want to take the dipstick out, and you want to rub it on your thumbnail.
Right.
Then you're going to take a screwdriver and touch that oil and rub it on the fingernail next to it, the index finger, and put the two fingernails together and look at it. If it's oil, you'll clearly know it's oil. Because that leak on that side, what kind of car is it again?
Well, I had it happen to my Chrysler Town and Country. Now I have a Kia Sedona, and
okay.
It's the same that happened again.
All right. I think the timing belt's on that side of the car, on the passenger side of the car, and it's going to be right on the inside. So you could have a cam seal, a crank seal, you could have a front seal, you could have the front of the oil pan leaking, you could have an oil pressure switch leaking on either one of those two cars. But you could also have a boot leaking on one of the drive axles.
Yeah.
See? Because I could read your face.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it's thick black grease, you'll know that it's different than the oil. So what really needs to happen is you pull the dipstick tube and wipe it on your fingernail, pull the power steering, wipe it on your fingernail, look at the coolant and compare it to a fingernail, because it reflects light and it gives you the true color. And if your wife has really long fingernails, she'll be happy to help you do that, and you can rub oil over all five fingers, right?
Okay.
All right. Good luck to you, buddy.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. John, you're up next. John, how can we help you?
I've got a 2004 Chevy Malibu that the anti-theft system drives me nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Greg? I don't know whoever invented it, but whoever threw up the circuit for that thing was an idiot. You know, you get to sit there for 10 minutes while it resets.
Yeah.
If you don't start the, turn the starter key on exactly correctly, okay?
All right. Well, there's a couple thoughts on that. First of all, it really is a good system, except when it goes bad. And the reason why everybody hates this system is because it's so doggone difficult to diagnose.
Right.
Now, one of the things that you might do is I'm pretty sure he's got the reprogram procedure in his owner's manual for another key, doesn't he?
Yeah, should be.
In your owner's manual, there should be a reprogramming procedure. Now, it'll say, put the key in the ignition, turn it on, honk the horn twice, wave a dead cat around your head three times, howl at the moon, eat a banana. It's stupid, okay? But you got to follow the steps. What you're telling the computer is this is the new key I'm going to use. That's what we do first. The second thing...
It's not the key, okay?
It's not the key.
It's the switch.
How do you know that?
Well, because the dealer told me that.
So
he said that the little switch inside the ignition key lock is getting defective, and they can fix that by charging me $220 to put a new key lock in.
Craig, what would a key lock cost on?
Malibu is specific to with the GM. They have the dash mounted key where it's not like all the other GMs on the column.
Okay,
so they're a little real specific to
that car.
That car, and that ignition switch does go bad.
Okay.
Quite a bit.
Now the ignition lock,
right?
As opposed to the ignition switches, we're not talking about the ignition.
Actually,
this is the ignition lock
with the Malibu. They're both.
Together.
Okay. In one
All right.
piece. So
then in that case, there's a reader that's supposed to read the resistance on the key that you put in
Correct.
There. And what they're saying is that reader's bad.
Yeah.
So I think I would just... Now, here's the problem. If you go out and bid this, and you say to Craig or Mark, I want you to put the new ignition switch, new ignition lock assembly in there, and typically the independents are going to be somewhere between 10 and 20%, a little less than the dealers. They just have more overhead than we do. We're very good friends with them. We spend a lot of money with them, and we're good competitors, but we're typically cheaper. So if you do that and they beat it and they charge you $180, $190, and it doesn't fix the car, you're in trouble. because you diagnosed it, I think it would be better for you to go back to the dealer and say, I'm going to let you put that in for $220. But if that doesn't fix it, what are we going to do about that? How are we going to unwind that deal? Because I don't want to pay for a guess. I want to pay for a fix.
So, yeah, but see, I've even asked the dealer if there's any way of just disabling the stupid thing.
No, you can't. No. You can't.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's because the factory doesn't want you to. They want it in there.
You can disable it. You can get on the internet and get some software, and you can take the anti-theft out of there. But why don't you just get it fixed?
Yeah, it's a nice peace of mind.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice peace of mind because really and truly that chip really protects you. The thieves know which cars they can take, and anything with the chip, they just know it's a waste of time unless, of course, there's somebody who had your key at one time and copied it real quick. But there's, you know.
No, this isn't the key thing. The key doesn't have anything in it. It's strictly a physical switch problem. This does not have a funny key.
Yeah, the Malibu doesn't. I think what he's talking about, the Malibu doesn't have a chip in the key itself. It relies
this
on
is
the,
a, this is a little crummy switch inside the ignition.
On the ignition.
Okay,
switch.
But regardless of what it is, it's what Craig described. It's the ignition lock and the ignition switch as one.
Right.
Why don't you, if you want to do this, then do this. Call another dealer and say, here's my symptoms, and when I put my key in, nothing happens, and if I wait 10 minutes with my key on the on position, it'll start and run. So that kind of tells everybody that it's a VAT system, a VAT, vehicle theft deterrent system or something like that. Yeah, VATS is what they call it. And then say, I've been quoted $220. Is that a number you can beat? Parts, labor, and tax, out the door price, and see what happens. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. Again, though, you run a risk of that not being it. And you can't go back to the first dealer and say to him, you got to pay this bill because you didn't do business with him. Right. So there's a risk associated with trying to get a cheaper price. But anyway, thank you very much. And any of you have any questions that we didn't get answered today, here's my email address. It's mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com. And even if I missed you, or even if you have a question on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, go ahead and email it to me. If you're a Facebook person, go to Facebook.com/Mark Salem. You can be my friend, and I send stuff out that's automotive related. I don't tell you about my grandkids and stuff like that. I just talk about stuff that will save you money, things that will make you happy. Craig, thanks for spending your Saturday with me, buddy.
Appreciate it.
And your dad's still there working?
Yep, every day.
And he drives cars down to the
emission station.
He can make them act up when no one else can.
Yeah, that's right. We'll send him out for a while.
All right, 10 seconds.
All righty. We'll be back next week right after this.
This was a paid program and was provided for informational purposes only.
As the holiday season approaches, we all start to think about family.
Another great one in the books.
Family gatherings.
Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Thank you very much. I knew I was going
to
be a second or two off there, but thank you for giving me that 5 seconds.
Clippings and movies just sit in a closet forgotten by everyone.
Because I was still about 10 seconds away on my clock.
Make a family history video with family tales.
So thank you for doing that. It worked out fine.
If you can use a computer, you can use family.
No, yeah, it sounded perfect. You did a great job. Have a wonderful week.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. See you Saturday.
I would love to watch a DVD.
Bye-bye.
I noticed their little disclaimer on there. Yeah. In front of every one of their shows.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, I asked him about that. I said, you know, can you...